Hello and welcome back to the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson and joining me, as ever, is Chris Anderson to review the Wednesday Night Wars between NXT and AEW. There's two shows, lots of action. Let's get straight into it. And as we mentioned last week, we like to talk a lot. So now we've got a set structure of results, our top three moments, the one match to watch, and then a quick summary. So Chris, over to you for AEW's one-year anniversary show.
Yeah, guaranteed I'll still go long, but I'll do my best. So I'll dive straight into the results. As Crush said, it is the one-year anniversary of AEW Dynamite on TNT. How quickly has that gone? They opened the show with the best friends taking on FTR in a tag team title match. This is a good match. The finish is a bit contrived where they go for FTR go for a belt shot. The ref ducks the belt shot. They clock, I can't remember, I think it's Trent, if I remember rightly. He goes down, knocked out, and the ref's like, oh, I have no clue how that happened, even though I saw you swinging the belt. I ducked out the way, I just didn't see the contact. But the match itself is very good. The near fall section was excellent. It's a good watch. It's just not great, I would say. However, during the match, Trent goes headfirst into Kip Sabian's beloved arcade machine on the outside. This sets up into match two, where we see Kip Sabian and Miro take on Sean Maluta and Lee Johnson in a squash match. This is what you'd expect. It's Miro being dominant. After the match, Miro calls out the good friends. Kip Sabian says how they've destroyed the one thing he loves most. So we're going to finally see Miro and Kip Sabian in what seems like an actual feud. I'm very excited for this because we want to see Rusev be Rusev. We want to see Miro be at his best. This should be good. No news, I think, on when the match will be yet. It could well be next week, but it might be the week after. Match three, we see the TNT Championship, the new and returning TNT Champion Cody Rhodes taking on Orange Cassidy. This was a very, very good match, if just a little telegraphed. It ended up being a time limit draw, a 20-minute time limit draw. The only reason it was a bit telegraphed is because I think for the first time ever, I heard very, very updated time announcements. So you got a 10-minute remaining announcement, 5 minutes remaining announcement, 4 minutes remaining announcement. And at this point, I was like, okay, so it's going to be a draw. Essentially, Orange Cassidy had the win. If he'd had one more second, he would have won. They're going to do a rematch in 2 weeks where I assume we'll see an actual winner. Match four, AEW Women's Championship match, Hikaru Shida versus Big Swole. This was probably the weakest match of the night. Hikaru Shida went over via knee strike. It got bogged down a couple of times. There were a couple of missteps. I've said it before. I think the women's division is getting some footing, but it needs a hot feud for the title. At the moment, it's just next woman up going for the title. It needs something personal. It needs a blood feud, something like that. It's for something that was struggling so badly 6 months ago, it is finally starting to get some traction. It just needs that one hot feud to take it off. And then match five, the main event, the AEW World Heavyweight Championship match between Jon Moxley and Lance Archer. This is originally just a regular one-on-one match. However, both competitors attacked each other backstage during the show. Lance Archer first, then Jon Moxley got his revenge. So they made it a no DQ match. This was probably about as good a match as you get when everyone already knows the results. The fact that no titles changed hands during the show already, you kind of already understood that this was just going to be a good defense for Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley hit the paradigm shift straight off the bell. It was a really good start, set up a really good tempo to the match. We also got a paradigm shift through the tables to the outside, which was cool. In the end, Moxley won by a roll-up after Lance Archer went for the blackout. Did good match. Like I said, my biggest issue really was is that we kind of already knew the result before it started. However, leading into this, my top three moments from the show, first and foremost, Eddie Kingston's promo to end the show was about as good as you could get. If you aren't aware of Eddie Kingston and his work, he's definitely worth checking out on YouTube. He is, I think, in my opinion, the best promo in wrestling at the moment. Everything he says sounds real. It sounds raw. Continuing this feud between Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Jon Moxley beat Eddie Kingston by submission, but Kingston never tapped. He passed out. They're obviously building this up to go somewhere. I'm really enjoying it. My second top moment was Miro and Kip finally getting a feud. It was a nice, short, easy promo. Miro went full old school foreign Rusev, shouted some stuff in Bulgarian, made the slip of the tongue with good friends as opposed to best friends. This will be a good match. I'm excited to see where they go with this. I assume Miro and Kip will go over as they continue to build Miro. They'll continue to build this friendship, and I think eventually we'll see Miro turn on Kip. This was good. I'm excited to see Miro actually doing something physically in the ring as opposed to recently we've just seen him do squash matches or vignettes, pre-recorded vignettes. And then finally, my final top moment was the finish to the Orange Cassidy Cody match. Like I said, it was a bit telegraphed, but they did it really well. It was executed well. I'm excited for the rematch in 2 weeks. This is just good storytelling. It's a good build, especially for a TV show. Again, 2 weeks' time on Dynamite, we get to see the rematch for it. I think this works really nicely. They also announced that Darby Allin will take on the TNT champion at Full Gear for the title. That'll be a dead good match. I actually really hope it's Orange Cassidy, but I think it'll be Cody at that point, and I think they'll have Darby Allin finally get his title win. But wait and see. My one match to watch is without doubt the main event. Like I said, for something where you know what the result's going to be, this is as good as it can be. Lance Archer and Jon Moxley have very, very good chemistry, especially in brawl fights, especially no DQs. It's very, very much their wheelhouse. I really, really recommend you watch it. Like I said before, this is a good show, not a great show. It's a shame that no title was changed hands, so there was no moment, I guess, is the best way of saying it. There was no, like, in 2 months' time, you'll forget everything that was on the anniversary show because there was no big moment to it. However, next week, as ever, they build very well into their coming up shows. Next week, we have the number one contender tournament starting for the men's title. The brackets were revealed. Match of round one to watch out for is Penta versus Rey Fénix. That'll be dead, dead good. Unsurprisingly, Kenny and Hangman Page are on opposite sides of the draw. I still have my prediction that Kenny will cost Hangman a spot in the final, but we'll wait and see. Also next week, we have a four-way tag match to determine the number one contender to the tag titles who will face at Full Gear. We have Young Bucks versus Private Party versus Butcher and the Blade versus Dark Order. The obvious answer is that Young Bucks will win this. Obviously, they're on their push at the moment with the Super Kick Party. There was some fisticuffs after the match was announced. That would be the obvious choice. Obviously, building to a Young Bucks FTR feud. We'll have to wait and see. But that is my relatively short roundup of AEW. Crush, I hope I was short enough for you. I will now hand over to you to go through NXT. Hit me. What happened?
Yeah, as Chris says, NXT last night, we are now 2 weeks away from Halloween Havoc and plenty developed as the show went on as we built to first Halloween Havoc since 2000. So first one in 20 years. We start off with a number one contender match for the Tag Team Championships to face Breezango at a future date. Of course, Breezango were last week's podcast guests, so make sure you check out the interview with them on Sport for Wrestling on YouTube or any good podcasting app. So we had Undisputed Era, which was Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish against Danny Lurch and Oney Lorcan. Undisputed Era pick up the win. It was a good match between both of them. But lots of back and forth with Fandango and Tyler Breeze watching on closely. There was a lot of isolating of Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, but they managed to get a few hot tags in there. The finish, though, is Oney Lorcan's caught alone and Roderick Strong hits a jumping knee to get the 1-2-3 and set up a championship match with Breezango for a date further down the line. Next up, we have Ashanti the Adonis versus Jake Atlas. And it was a fairly short match, and it's one reason, and that's because it's developing storylines from NXT TakeOver. So, Raul Mendoza and Whacking Wild come out, distract both of them, and then Atlas catches Adonis with an inside cradle to get the win. Afterwards, Mendoza and Wild try to attack Adonis, but Jake Atlas dived on both of them to send them both running. Santos Escobar then comes out in, honestly, a jacket that would suit any Christmas party. It's emerald, it's shiny, it is beautiful. So they're about to do the 3-on-2, and then in comes Isaiah Swerve Scott from behind into the ring, appeared with steel chairs for everyone, and that trio stood firm against Legado del Fantasma. The third match of the night is a really nice match between Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory. So I'm not going into too much detail, but it's probably my second favourite match of the night. I'll get onto my first later on in the night. Johnny Gargano does get the win, though. A lot of good stuff in here, a lot of back and forth. Theory caught him with a super kick. Gargano doesn't stay down. He ducked a few attempts at the ATL and then connected on a super kick and then into a lawn dart. And then finally, Gargano won via one final beat. We then get into two women's match. The first being Candice LeRae beating Shotzi Blackheart to become the number one contender for the Women's Championship. So a lot of shenanigans in this match, mainly because it revolves around Indy Hartwell, which I'm going to go into because this is my one match to watch for the night. But I'll go into that later. Then it's time. It's Tony time. Tony Storm is back in NXT and she picked up the win against Aaliyah, of course, part of the Robert Stone brand. There was a little promo before the match about that. But Tony Storm picked up the win in what essentially was a squash match. But it'd be interesting to see where she then goes forward from now on because I'd like to see with the title picture, but I don't know if it's too soon ahead of Halloween Havoc. We then get mine and Chris's favourite tag team after Synergy, Drake Maverick and Killian Dane getting beat by Imperium. So once again, Killian Dane has no interest in the theme music, the whistling and whatnot. He had no interest in Drake Maverick getting into the action. However, Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner wore him down and Maverick comes in. Pretty much beat him up. That's what it is. Imperium then land the Imperial Implosion on Drake Maverick for the victory. Afterwards, Everise come out and taunted and basically had a go at Maverick until Killian Dane cleared house. And then the Beast of Belfast told his new partner that nobody hits you but me. A very nice end to that segment. But something I did miss out on is that Drake Maverick tried to convince Killian Dane for a new name for the tag team, which is the Fury and the Furry. Can you guess which one is which, Chris?
I'm going to guess that Drake Maverick, of course, is the Fury, as we all know, and that Killian Dane, the cute little Killian Dane, as you'd expect, would be the Furry.
Yep, that is correct. Then we get on to the main event, and it is Damian Priest taking on Dexter Lumis for the NXT North American Championship. Now, this hard-hitting, but the challenger kept coming back. He found some momentum with a bulldog and a spine buster, and he refused to stay down after Priest hit him with some very devastating moves, as we've seen in previous weeks. Cameron Grimes sneaks in to try and attack Lumis, setting up the South of Heaven for Priest for the win. And then Damian Priest gives Cameron Grimes the reckoning for getting involved. As Damian Priest is celebrating, Gargano sneaks out behind him, hits him with a steel chair. William Regal's out, and he announces that Gargano and Candice LeRae get their rematches for the championships that they're involved in at NXT TakeOver 31. And then we move in to my top three moments of the night, because this is the next segment after that. Top moment of the night, spin the wheel, make the deal, is back. So, for those who might not be familiar with this, this is throwing it back to Halloween Havoc in 1992. Where Jake the Snake Roberts and Sting had a match, and their main event was determined by a Wheel of Fortune. So in this case, it was the Coal Miner's Glove stipulation. Sting pinned Jake Roberts after hitting him with a Coal Miner's Glove, which caused the snake that Roberts was holding to turn on him and bite him in the face. So after all that has happened between Gargano and Priest and Regal, Shotzi Blackheart is out, and she announces that this will be the stipulations for their two matches. And Chris has kindly sent me a screenshot on WhatsApp, because I've got very bad eyes and couldn't tell on the actual show. So some of these options include the blindfold match. It's got the Coal Miner's Glove on a pole, which will be a throwback to what I've just mentioned. It's got a casket match. It's got a buried alive match. It's got a boiler room brawl. It's got a trick or street fight. It's got a TLS match, which we're unsure of what it means, but I suggested tables, ladders and skeletons just because of the Halloween theme. It has got a biker's chain match, and there's a couple of more on there that I can't make out.
You're on your own. This is your segment.
Yeah, I've got no idea, so I'm just going to wrap that on what I said. But yeah, that is my top moment of the night. I'm looking forward to seeing what stipulations they've got. And again, that is on the 28th of October. The second one is Candice LeRae shenanigans I mentioned before in the roundup. So Indy Hartwell obviously bottled up a new TV after it was destroyed by Tegan Knox. In this match, Candice LeRae gets sent out to the outside. Hartwell then sneaks some brass knuckles to Candice LeRae as she's getting up and holding herself up off the barrier. She then goes over to the side of the ring where Shotzi Blackheart is coming over, clocks her with the brass knuckles and picks up the victory. I love spots like this because it means there's definitely going to be another rematch down the line when people review the TV footage and that plays into the storyline, because if I'm honest, it was a good match, and I'll go into that shortly. And the third top moment of the night is Toni Storm's new entrance. It is Toni time. She is back with a new entrance. And as I mentioned earlier in the results, I'm looking forward to see where she can go in NXT. Moving into my one match to watch, and it's Candice LeRae versus Shotzi Blackheart. These two had a very good match going backwards and forward. Shotzi Blackheart tried to outmaneuver LeRae early on and before she was sent into the steel post and the apron. Candice LeRae hit a suplex off the second rope and a springboard moonsault, which Blackheart kicked out of. And again, I just mentioned the finish. Go and watch it. That is my match of the night. And that is all we have time for today. I've sort of been all over the show, but NXT, good show. It's good storytelling matches. Halloween Havoc's taking shape for 28th of October. We've also got Raquel Gonzalez and Rhea Ripley confirmed for that, as well as Johnny Gargano and Damian Priest and Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai. We've got the Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal coming back for their two stipulations. Thanks for listening. Make sure to leave us a review on the podcast if you enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod and check us out on YouTube, Sport Wrestling, for all our interviews. make sure to check out the main podcast, which will be back later today, as Inside the Ropes' very own Kenny McIntosh will be joining us, as well as a quick chat with Otis, who is currently Mr. Money in the Bank. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT UK review, and on Saturday with the SmackDown review before going back to the normal shows next weekend. Thanks for listening in. Let's go home.